Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Meeting Ike Series Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Marina Leros Naples, and today is part two of Psychic and Spiritual Children in Today's World. If you haven't listened to part one, be sure to tune in to listen to that segment of this four-part series. In the first show, I touched on the prevalence of metaphysics and spirituality in today's world and gave you tips on how you and your children or grandchildren can tune in to the natural world that surrounds us. I also shared tips on what to look for and ask about when seeking a practitioner or psychic reader to be sure that you are connecting with authentic professionals in their fields. In today's show, I'll share a bit about how children's formal education differs and why a one-size-fits-all does not, and how to grace their education by expanding and molding their spiritual being. So let's take a look at a few teaching approaches. The traditional conventional education that's offered in a brick-and-mortar building with theater-style seating, the teacher is in front of the room. The children are seated in rows for hours, mostly obediently responding to the teacher when called upon. This type of teaching style is mainly auditory. The teacher speaks, and the children offer verbal answers in return. There are some blackboard writings and diagrams along the way, and even stories read out loud. This approach will lose the visual as well as the interactive learner, who in his or her frustration and boredom lose interest. They'll tune the teacher out. They'll give up. Their brain will not be stimulated for the way it is wired, and what most likely is a very bright and intelligent mind won't get the benefit of the education it needs in order to excel into greatness. They'll be accused of daydreaming and refusing to cooperate. What they've most likely done is shifted into beta brainwave mode and are on standby. Smart faculty do recognize the differences in learning modes and are integrating various methods to reach more children for better success, but they still have a long way to go. Montessori schools are an alternative method of learning. In this approach, children learn through structured play and expression. The child I described before would most likely do well in a Montessori school because it engages and stimulates that part of the brain of how they calculate and process. They need to see it in action, to be immersed through interaction. They are visual and or experiential learners. On the other hand, an auditory learner in a setting where visual and interactive play is the main learning method most likely will have these learners feeling lost and give up. They are just not brainwired for that type of processing. They need to hear what is being taught, and most likely the teacher will find them watching the action of others instead of doing it themselves. The teacher may find them looking at the arts and crafts supplies, obviously not sure what to do or how to do it. And they tend to give up more easily because step by step, visual directions were given, and there was less emphasis on verbal ones. Their eyes see how it's being done, but their brainwave connections are not receiving the information in the manner that they are wired. It's as if a short circuit happened, and they are stuck. Next, becoming more popular, is unschooling. If you haven't heard of it yet, it's an approach used in a small number of homeschooling homes, or even with preschoolers. There is no structure of learning, and the child is free to experience what he or she is drawn to throughout the day. It's more of an experiential without a design structured type of learning, not necessarily a teaching approach where the adult guides the child, but one where the child experiences through decisions of what they want to do at any given moment throughout the day. The child is the one in charge, if you will. The parent is more of an observer and an encourager. They encourage them. The problem here is that each state has milestones and expectations children must reach and excel in. In the reported files, parents are required to submit. Without structure to learn the alphabet, counting, math, and more, the state will swiftly move in. Without guidance and a defined learning structure, the child becomes attuned to a self-serving mode by default, as they were not only their own guide, but their own creator, their own teacher. So not learning rules of society, boundaries for themselves and of others. It offers an imbalance of their development on many levels. Regular homeschooling encompasses experiential with structured learning and is designed to meet the state guidelines as well, so the child can excel. Hours and days are not regimented, and group learning sessions with other homeschooled children are becoming more frequent. With homeschooling, children experience more outings, have the opportunity to learn more life skills, and can learn at their own pace. On the downside, a parent needs to be available to teach them and review the homework and project, which impedes on the freedom for the parent to work and bring in an income from an outside source. If not researched well from the beginning and having too high of expectations, or by mimicking a conventional school schedule and their approaches of teaching, and therefore of learning, both child and parent can become overwhelmed very quickly, and both can end up feeling like a failure. So what's a good parent and an able-minded, what's a good parent and an able-minded child to do? Is a conventional school best for their formal training? A new supplemented home with unschooling? Offering their creative side to feel free enough to literally come out and play and express. Possibly your preschool age child can learn through the unschooling method, yet they can do simple chores or fun counting lessons. You mix in with it to bring in the structure. They'll need to be wired once their school years arrive, whether you decide homeschooling or conventional brick and mortar building school. But you may be thinking, wait, what about my child's psychic and spiritual side? Isn't that what this show was supposed to be about? And the answer is yes, it is. But it was important to get you thinking about how different educational methods can work for your child or grandchild and how they might not work for them. Knowing where the method fails them helps you to know how to feed their psychic and spiritual side. What are they missing? What is stifling them? What is helping them to excel? And finally, what can you do to be sure they receive all they need for a balanced upbringing? Do you know if your child's school integrates meditation or yoga into the daily routine? If your child is not in school yet, are the schools that you're considering, do they offer those? If they don't, request it. Speak with other parents about it, and if they are interested, put in a formal request with the school. Even speak to your child's teacher about it. If you know practitioners of the yoga, of meditation, and you would be interested in having them because you know of their qualifications and you know that there are results that they get, see if they'd be interested in doing segments over at a school, at your child's school. So that way, if they are, you can approach the school, find out if this is something that they would be willing to be open to, and then you have someone that you can refer them to that has the good qualifications and gets good results so that they would be more readily accepting and open to having that coming into the school for your child and the other students. Many schools are already adding these practices now, and they are finding that the children's behavior, their attentiveness, and test scores greatly improve from these practices. Now, what can you do at home? before their day begins, whether they go to school, whether you're teaching them at home, or they're just too young for school yet, you can begin by doing simple yoga stretches together, even just regular plain stretches. It doesn't have to be yoga, or even as few as 5 minutes. Sit and do a mindfulness meditation together for another, even just 5 minutes. And when finished, be sure you and they quietly give thanks for this new day. Those 10 minutes each day can make a world of difference, no matter what educational path you choose for your child or grandchild. What they may not get in their formal education setting, you can offer at home. And how you begin the day, you can end it with the same 2 5-minute exercises for a calm and restful night's sleep. And be sure you and they quietly, again, give thanks for all the good things they've learned and experienced with others that day. This is where you can lead by example. Certain games you can play with them. You can use playing cards to help them develop their psychic senses. Any deck of cards will do. You will be using numbers 1 through 5 for the younger children, 1 through 10 for the older children. One at a time and with it face down by itself, see how many they get right. When they tell you their answer, ask them, how did you get that answer? Did you see the number in your mind? Did you see the number's word or the actual number? Where in your mind did you see it? On the left? The right? In front? Did you hear the number? Did you just know it? Was it a feeling? Asking them these questions helps them to recognize when they received the correct answers and when the answers were wrong, so they will know which to pay attention to so they can differentiate correct answers from incorrect ones. This will also help them to get to listen to that quiet voice within to differentiate answers on tests and when interacting with others. These are just 2 very simple exercises you can implement with your child or grandchild's daily life to help them set the stage for a lifelong practice they will greatly benefit, as well as keep them spiritually centered and grounded as they move forward. And it will keep them with their educational years. I'm sorry. So something caught my eye there and I lost my thought. So yes, it's going to keep them spiritually centered and grounded as they move forward through their educational years. Now, if your child or grandchild is a toddler or preschooler, you have the advantage of setting the stage, so to speak. If you are with them during the day, you have even more of an advantage. But if not, a short 10 minutes each morning and 10 to 20 minutes each evening not only introduces an additional form of structure, but also bonding time, as well as helping to develop their psychic and spiritual side. Singing simple chants, massaging their back, arms, and legs, as I mentioned in the first episode. Talking about angels and giving them names, also mentioned in the first episode. Simple yoga stretches, watching the sway of tree branches in the wind is a calming method that will put them and you in a relaxed state and altered one too. You could play the card game I described before, but with pictures of animals. There are many ways to foster and develop these abilities in children. I have some games and tools in development now and hope to be having them available for purchase by 2022 at the latest, so keep listening as time moves forward. I hold live classes for children on outschool.com. There I offer guided meditation classes, academic classes about meditation and meditation symbols, even classes where they design and create their own meditation symbols in space. Would your child or grandchild be interested in making their own all-natural bath and body products? I teach this as well. Possibly your child or grandchild is interested in herbs and gardening. They can learn about wild-growing herbs and their uses in one of my classes. If you have any questions or would like to drop me a line, my email address is meeting.ike.series@gmail.com and meeting.ike.series@proton.mail. Thank you for spending this time with me, and please join me February 23rd at noon Eastern Time for Part 3 of Psychic and Spiritual Children in Today's World, where I'll be discussing more about children's psychic and intuitive abilities and how they can safely be used with their schooling. My name is Marina Leros-Naples, and I thank you for joining me today on the Meeting Ike Series Blog Talk Radio Show.